tired things and an over things and an alert my son. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, great is high is thy will come to thee. I am resolved and who with me be without delay. Called by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will look heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Great is highest I could come to thee. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, search up the blues of the sin and the grave. Weep over everyone, lift up the falling, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. God bless you. Preacher, how are you?
I'm well, sir. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, sir. Hey, sister, how you doing?
Let That's it.
Are we going to five?
Yes, four, whatever the last one is.
Okay, I just didn't hear your own.
Rescue the perishing, who needed cleansing, tranquil that labor the Lord will provide. Send to the faraway, patient waiting, tell them for wonder the Savior is not. Rescue the perishing, careful not. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
One of Ben's fears, old song. Never shall.
Long years ago, me. sinner come, to Jesus now, at his dear feet, just humbly bow, confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within.
Service up there. People come from all over that mountain up there. Old pews, old wooden pews. They didn't have to talk pews like this, but they listened to songs and preaching too. And we got a blessing out of it. And this little song right here that Pastor Goodman used to do makes us think of that church. And that's what I want to sing for you tonight. And Linda's going to help me with it. That little wooden church on the hill. It was in my childhood, many years ago, with the Spirit of the Savior I was filled. At an old-fashioned meeting, my memories linger still. In that little old wooden church, way out on the hill, you could hear the people singing about a half a mile away, and your heart began to get that sudden thrill. It would start your body moving, you couldn't keep it still. In that little old wooden church, way out on the hill. Every Sunday morning, we'd have our family prayer. Then into that country wagon we would be. Then we'd start out on our journey over rocks and over rills to that little old wooden church way out on the hill. You could hear the people singing about half a mile away, and your heart began to get that sudden thrill. It would start your body moving, you couldn't keep it still. In that little old wooden church out on the hill. Yes, in that little old wooden church out on the hill. Many folks have passed us, and many folks have gone. But that sweet old golden memory lingers still. I'm gonna keep that Holy Spirit till death my body chills. I got it in that wooden church out on the hill. You could hear the people singing about a half a mile away, and your heart began to get that sudden thrill. It would start your body moving, you couldn't keep it still. In that little old wooden church out on the hill. Yes, in that little old wooden church out on the hill.
came up a few weeks ago, and I looked there and I saw. And then when he started singing with it, I'm going, you know, I remember those old TV shows back in the 60s where they had the, you remember like Batman, remember Batman? And they had the big old walls of computers and everything. And now you got something right, it's a little, like a telephone here, and you do all that. It's amazing. I tell you what, I'm trying to get in the 21st century. But I think I'm slowing down here. But thank you so much for coming to sing, bro. What a blessing that was. Well, we are so glad that Brother Pryor is with us. And of course, he really needs no introduction. Everybody knows him here in this area. But I do appreciate his ministry. I appreciate the caliber of man that he is. And of course, you know that. And it's hard to find servants of the Lord that want to serve God and have character about it. And I know some that are character, but I appreciate this dear man of God. And you do too. Thank you for coming. Preacher, thank you for honoring us. You'll come up bring the word of the Lord to us tonight.
Open your Bibles, please, this evening to the book of Ezra, chapter number 3. The book of Ezra, chapter number 3. And while you're finding your places in God's Word, let me say it's a joy and a privilege to be here at Faith Baptist Church. I've been coming here for a number of years, and I missed last year. Brother Van, he has an unusual schedule. And I have an unusual schedule, but we do get together. Thank you, preacher. It's so good to see you and your wife. Good to see the church folk. Good to see your preachers that are here this evening. And I appreciate you, men of God. Good to see Brother Jansen, one of the members. That's a membership from Timberlake, and he said where I was going to be next week. I believe was if I was going to be close. I said, well, week after that, going to be in your church. That's the first week of April. They had a camp meeting. So good to see y'all. And it's good to see Brother Roy and his wife of the temple. And I got my bus parked over there. There's nothing wrong with this place except it's a little bit level over there. When you get my age, you want to get as level as you can. And I appreciate him allowing me to park over there. And I'm going to stop right there because when I start calling preachers' names, I get in trouble. And the dear brother said a while ago, and I enjoyed that singing, since he had a stroke, he has to write it down. I have not had one. I still have to write it down. My memory, when you get 80 years old, if something happens to you, can anybody say amen out there? Is anyone out there 80 years old? A lot of things happen when you get 80 years old. Matter of fact, this coming week, I'll have a birthday. I'll be 81. I told some people at Greensboro, I was in a meeting there through Wednesday night this week, and I said, when I bend down to tie my shoe, I see if there's anything else needs to be done while I'm down there. So I have to go back down again. Now, young folks, if you hadn't got that, you'll get that. Just look forward to that. It's always good to see Brother James, Sister Nancy. I tell folk this, they come far and near to hear me preach. And one day, I'm going to preach a good message they're searching for. All right, if you couldn't, would, but how long am I supposed to preach till I get done? I always ask the pastor. I just came in, I couldn't remember where we started at 7 or 7:30. And so I said, I'll go a few minutes early and I'll catch it all. They tell me this now. You want no one to talk about you. Come first and leave last. If you couldn't, would please, would you stand this evening as we read the scripture together? After reading the scripture together. together, please remain standing for prayer time, and I appreciate that. In the book of Ezra, chapter number 3, beginning at verses number 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the orders of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by a chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid, before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. My Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and realizing at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess he's Christ, the Lord of glory. I want to thank you again for your mercy that comes down fresh and new every morning. Then, my Father, I want to take this time to thank you for traveling grace on the highway today. Lord, you know the close calls that we had coming up here. And I thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you, Lord, again that we can come to Faith Baptist Church, come behind this pulpit and open the Word of God. And I pray this evening that I shall receive holy unction from you as I preach thy word. Now, Father, I'm praying that you bless every visitor in this audience, Lord, every member of this church, and every preacher, pastor, a missionary, evangelist, I pray for them. And then, Lord, Brother Moore, he and his dear wife, would you help him as he under-shepherds this church? God, I pray that you'd save souls and give revival in these closing days of grace, and I shall thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time. I want to preach for a little while tonight on this thought. The young men shouted while the old men wept. The young men shouted while the old men wept. Now, by the way of introduction, because of Israel's refusal to abandon their idols and worship the one true God, that they were chastened by the Lord and were taken away into captivity. But the Babylonians, this captivity was to last for 70 years. I look in the book of Jeremiah chapter 25 and verses 11 through 12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make a perpetual desolation. Now this 70-year period began 605 B.C. When the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel. Later, in 586 B.C., after Israel rebelled against him, Nebuchadnezzar completely destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, and all the temple furniture. He also carried off the treasures of the temple at that time. For the next 70 years, Israel lived in captivity without temple and without the feast of sacrifices and rituals prescribed by the law. Cyrus the Persian overthrew the Babylonians in 539 B.C. and 538 B.C. gave permission to the Jews to return to their homeland. Almost 50 million Jews left Babylon and returned to Palestine. 3 years later, 535 B.C., they laid the foundation of the new temple, and thus ending the 70 years of their captivity. So our text records to us the laying of the foundation for this new temple. For many of the Jews present that day, it was a time of great joy. And yet the Bible says they shouted aloud for joy in verses number 12. But others who were there that day could not shout about what they were seeing. Instead, the Bible says that they wept with a loud voice in verse number 12. And so why is that one group is so excited and is praising the Lord, while the other group is sad and weeping? And so I believe that the Bible holds the answer to that question. I also believe that by answering that question, that will also uncover some very great truths for our church today. And so as the Lord gives liberty, I want to preach on this thought. The young men shouted
Father, oh, men, well, I believe God has something for us this evening. First of all, in verses number 12, we see the ghost of the past and what they remembered. So many people today are living in the past. Did you realize that? They're living in the past. And so we notice here the ghost of the past, what they remembered. A group of older men remembered the first temple. They remember the gold and the glory. They remember the old days when the temple of the Lord was one of the wonders of the ancient world. And also to remember the temple that if built today would cost multiple billions of dollars to build. They also remembered a temple that housed the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Then also to remember that within that ark were tables that contained the law of God handed down to Moses. They remembered God's glory cloud that filled the first temple. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 8, in verses 8 through 13, and they drew out their staffs, that the ends of the staffs were seen out of their holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there and heard when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And verses number 10, and it came to pass that when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now let me say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm from the old school. And by the grace of God, I cannot go this new way that so many are traveling today. And I'm not living in the past, and I can't live of yesterday. But I glean from the past. Can you imagine in days gone by in our churches how the glory of God came down and filled the house of God? And I wonder along the way what's happened to our churches. I wonder what's happened to some of our preachers today. And I have people that said they're saved. And we find here in verses number 13, I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for to abide in forever. In the book of 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, and it came even to pass as the trumpets, singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with their trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in the first three verses. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces toward the ground upon the pavement. Notice now and worship and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Right, here's enough to shout about till we get home, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad the mercy of God endureth forever. Now they remember the day when Solomon's temple was literally the house of God. I want you to notice what they realized. They understood that this new temple would never be the same. In Haggai chapter number 2 and verse number 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how did you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison or as nothing, he said. So they could see that it would be smaller. They knew that they did not have the resources to build it like it had been in all those years gone. But something else, they realized that all the things that made the first temple precious, the ark and its contents, the mercy seat, the glory cloud, were forever gone. And the realization broke their hearts and they wept bitterly before the Lord. For listen, there are many with us today who remember the glory of the days of the church gone by. You see, I have been saved a little better than 58 years. I've been trying to preach a little better than 58 years. And I remember in my preaching time, not somebody else's preaching time, but I remember in revival time, that when people come just like you here tonight, but you came for one purpose, was to come to worship God. You came to get in touch with God and let God bless you. And because of that, the glory of God came down. I would love to see a move of God in our church today like we've seen in the days gone by. And someone said to me, Brother Fryam, do you believe that will ever happen? Let me remind you that God is still the same. God never changes. He won't ever change. You and I are the one that changes, ladies and gentlemen. When I look here in the Bible, there are many of us today who remember the glory days of the church. They remember the time when the word of God and the house of God were held in a high regard by all. I remember those days. Yesterday, I was out washing the bus that I travel in. And I had a little busy day yesterday. I got up early and just give you a little rundown of my day. I said to my wife, I sure would like to have a ham and egg biscuit from Hardee's, wouldn't you? She said, I sure would. So I drove to Hardee's and got a ham and egg biscuit for each of us. And then I got out of the yard and I remembered I had to go to Walmart. I always got to go to Walmart for something. And I went to Walmart. Then I came back and I started washing on that bus. And a preacher came by. And I was in her. There are times when we can fellowship with a preacher. That's time. We just don't have time to fellowship. And so he came by on his motorcycle. Now listen to me. I don't have a motorcycle. Couldn't ride one. If I had one, wouldn't know what to do with it. So he came by on his motorcycle. First of all, he spent time to show me how the thing operated. I was not interested in that. I'm interested in getting that bus washed. Because I got to cut my grass. I got to wash your car. And I got to go back to the grocery. Just got a lot to do. And so he fellowshipped, and we fellowshipped a little while. And then finally he said to me, I've got to go. I said, good, because I got to get back to work. And so we got to talking about days gone by and how you had to lock the church today and still people have no regard for the house of God. But I said to him, I remember back over 58 years ago in my first pastor, way back in the mountains of North Carolina, near Patrick Springs, Virginia. Didn't have to lock your church back in those days. You left the church unlocked. People come in and pray, and they dared not bother with the contents in the house of God. But today, if you don't lock your church, you come back the next service. The next service time, you won't have anything. That's sad, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Because this is a house of prayer. When I think about these things, there are people today, some people, they hold the house of God in high regard. But there's some that does not hold the house of God in high regard. I believe in the church. I'm part of the church. I believe in the local church. Amen. I preach in the state of New Hampshire. And I was in Barton, Vermont last year in a meeting. And the church had been organized 56 years. I was the first evangelist to ever be in that church and the first revival they had in 56 years. And in New Hampshire, there's a church. They do not believe in local church membership. They don't believe in tithing. They don't believe in nothing. They just assemble together. Isn't that sad, ladies and gentlemen? In this part of the country, we're so blessed of God. But I love the local church. If necessary be, I'd give my life for the church. If necessary be, because I hold the local church in high regard. They did in days gone by. Then also they remember the time when the fear of God was on the community and even the lost respected the things of God. Back in days gone by, they had high regard. Even lost people respected the house of God. But today they don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Then again, the Bible tells us something. They remember the day when the pulpit and the pew were both filled with the Spirit of God. They remember those. I remember those days, ladies and gentlemen. And the pews, the pulpit, was filled with the power of God. What's happened to us today? What's going on in this world today? We've seen a great falling away. Then they remember a time when God's presence and His power was manifested in the Lord's house, and souls were saved, and the saints shouted the victory, and the church enjoyed God's great power. But something has happened along the way. Our shouts are gone. Our praises are gone. And not all people, but some people act like they, have done God a great favor just to attend on Sunday morning in the house of God. But David said, I was glad when they said, let us go in the house of the Lord. And those who remember those good old days looked at the modern church with a broken heart as they longed for the things that have passed. When I see today the condition of our churches at my age, and I look back yonder church and my heart weeps before the Lord because of the condition of our churches today. We ever need revival, we need it now. And the only hope for America is not who's going to be in the White House. It's not who's already there. the only hope for America's revival in our churches again. We must have that, ladies and gentlemen. There are many who are haunted by the ghosts of the past. And I'm not an old man. I do not remember many of the things I've heard about in stories, but my heart does ache for return of those simple and more powerful days of the Lord. I don't remember anything about Charles Finney, Adele Moody, but I've heard about those back in days gone by, those great meetings that they had. I remember nothing about that because I were not there, but I believe what they tell me. But I believe what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says. We need to be revived. Then number two, we find in verse number 11, the gifts of the present. But they remembered that number, listen, were even more people who did not remember the first temple. They had no idea what it had looked like or the glory that had been in it. All they remember was a life of captivity and bondage in a foreign land. And no doubt many of these people had been born during the time of Israel's captivity, and all they could remember was their slavery. But they also remembered how God, in His power, had delivered them from that bondage. I may not have been back in days gone by, neither you, but I remember the day I got born again. Remember the day when God saved me, when the penalty was lifted. Got out from under bondage and was set free by the Word of God. I do remember that day. I can carry you to the place, can't you, when the Lord saved me. Now, some cannot remember the day, nor the hour when they got saved, but I remember the day. I remember the hour. But some of the greatest preachers I know that I have known is with the Lord now. They could not recall the day they got saved exact day, but they knew God had changed their life. The important thing is know that you've been to Calvary. When you've been born again, there's an inward change, and thank God there is an outward change. Then also the Bible said what they realized. These young people could not remember the old days, but they could see that a new day of opportunity had dawned for them, and they embraced it wholeheartedly. They weren't there that day when the old temple stood. They did not remember the glory of God. But now what they're saying, a new day has dawned. And God is going to bless us like they did back in olden days gone by. Because He's the same God. He's the same God. These young people had no frame of reference concerning the old days. But they were excited about what God was doing in their day. Some people are so caught up in the past that they cannot get excited about what God is doing in the present. I thank God for good revivals I've been in church in years gone by. But that's not today. But I gleaned from those days. But today I'm looking for something today. I'm trusting God for something even better today. When I think about this, still there are those of others who are so willing to embrace and use trends and methods that they forget about what God has did and has working today. They remember those old trends of yesterday. The bottom line is this. The past is gone forever. And we live in the present. A few weeks ago in Walmart, I met some members. I was their pastor for 34 years. And they came up to me and said, Brother Fowler, we remember those days when you were there. We remember those camp meeting days of 19 years gone by. Hosted a camp meeting for 19 years. We remember those days when the choir sang like the world was on fire. And they said, I wish it could be again. I said, those days will never be again. But there is a better day dawning for us. Because we're living so close to the coming of the Lord. Well, praise God for that. We need to look back and glean where we came from days gone by. But we have to live here and now. Does that mean that we have to change to fit in with the times? Does that mean that we need a new Bible? So many today are fundamentalists. Independent Baptist has gone with a new Bible. God help us today. Thank God I'm still driving the same team of mules I started with. I'm still riding in the same wagon, the old King James. Still don't have to have a new Bible. I don't know enough about this one. I'll never get this one preached. We don't need a new Bible. Then I must go on. Does that mean that we need to scrap our hymnals in favor of praise courses? When I think about this, a lot of our churches today, you know what? They've removed all the hymn books from the pew. Listen to me very closely. You would have replaced those hymn books, the little courses. I'm not against courses now. And they'll sing one course 25 times. 25 times. But the old hymn was written many years ago. People inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. and God bless him, and God down through the years has honored that, and he still honors and blesses those songs today. I read an article the other day, just bear with me for a moment, I get back to preaching. I read an article the other day. We're living in this new trend. This is how the liberals move in. This is how the charismatics move in. Little by little, under some young pastor, they begin to change their ways. They change one thing, and the older people in the church pays no attention to it. They said he's young. And the next thing you know, they change something else in the church, and the older folk go along with that. And then it's not long until they change something. And the first thing you know, they got the screens on the wall. And on that screen now, the hymn book is not there, but the little courses on the screen. And so they've gotten away with that. And down the road a little later on, they got something else on the screen. They got the Bible and the sermons on the screen. Are you with me this evening? We don't have to change with the time. God is still the same. And I see good churches being run today because they come in little at a time. And because the older members, they say, we're not going to put up with it. Then they leave the church. And you know what happens when they leave? The backbone is gone. The foundation is gone. And the young people, because they got exactly what they're looking for. God help us today. God help us. We need to stick by the stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Does that mean, listen, that we need to replace preaching with worship dramas? God help us today. I am not an entertainer. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, missionary Baptist preacher without apology. Amen. I have no sad stories to tell nobody. Oh, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, I see this along the way. Then also, does that mean we must lower our standards to accommodate the world? Absolutely not. Does that mean that we need to be more seeker-friendly so we can attract the big crowds? The answer to all of those questions is no. What it does mean is that we need to look at how and where God is working today and be thankful for the opportunity he's giving us in these days to serve him. I thank God for every open door that he gives me to preach. I thank God for every time I have a time to witness for the Lord. It's amazing how that the Lord will open a door for you. I was sitting in a place of business just a few days ago, and of course I was in north side of Greensboro, Michigan. I was driving back and forth every day, and I had to change tires on my car, and I only had 96,000 miles on them. Isn't God good? Can you imagine a Baptist preacher running a set of tires 96,000 miles? And while I was sitting there, while they were changing my tires, and so this man said, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question." I always hate that, don't you, preachers? When somebody said, I want to ask you a question. I wonder what kind of loaded question it's going to be. And so this man says to me, suppose a man dies now, and they put him in a casket. It's one of those sealer caskets. And they seal him in with glass. No air can get to him. He certainly can't get out because he's bolted in. That's what he emphasized that. Then they put him in a vault and put that lid on him. And now when the rapture takes place, how many men is it going to take to get him out of that casket and that vault? Have you ever heard a question like that? God just opened that door. I said, sir, did you know the twinkle of an eye in duration is 1/3 of a second? Sir, I said, did you know the nearest light traveling toward planet Earth at 186,000 miles per second? Listen, it takes 4 years to reach planet Earth. When Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, he's not coming to the earth, he's coming in the clouds. He's going to call his church out to meet him. And we're going to move out of here faster than thought, faster than light. God has power to resurrect if they're saved. Said that. Isn't it amazing how God will open the door for you to witness for? Can you imagine? Where did man ever get that at? It tells me, well, they don't go to church. Then again, you see, we've become trapped in the past and totally miss what God is doing today. Or we can get so caught up in all the modern trends and methods that we'll fail to realize that God does not change. The Bible tells us what he was doing. And listen, now, great-grandfather's day, he's still doing today. God saves souls then, and he saves them today. Society has changed. The church has changed. The world has changed. Thank God cannot change, and he will not change, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, he said, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed." James chapter 1 and verse number 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." He said, "With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." It was a problem with those listening viewpoints. They both squandered the opportunity that God gave them. You say they laid the foundation for the temple, but the work was halted. Now notice this, for 15 years, they went about their lives, built their own houses, did what they wanted to do. For 15 years now, the house of the Lord stayed unfinished. Listen to me. Today, we live in a society today when people care very little about the house of God. They don't care whether it's finished or not, as long as they get their house built and they get their house furnished and get what they want. Had the same problem back in Bible days. The house of God will be the first one completed in the community. It'll be the nicest place. I thank God today for padded pews, don't you? I thank God for carpet on the floor. Central heat and central air, because I remember my first church on an old brush arbor. We just had brush on top. It didn't keep the rain out, just kept the sun off of it. And we sat on old planks that had never been planed, still had splinters in them. No backs to them. You're afraid to move. You sit still. You move, you got a splinter. And then while we built the new church building, we didn't have those slatted pews. You remember those days? Some of you don't, but I do. You sit on, that's when preacher could preach 2 hours. Nobody got in a hurry. The church, they come to get in. They tell me when people back the car in, they didn't come to get in. They come to get out. But anyway, in those days, I was just as happy with a fan in my hand. You remember? Fanning. The people were happy. Had the windows raised when the skunks come by in the summertime, bless us with their aroma. We just went on worship God anyway. And we shouted and praised God because we was rich and didn't even know it. God was there. Today we have all this luxury. What's happened to the shouts today? I shouted down the sawdust trail. I'm going to shout down the carpet trail as long as God gives me breath. Again, the Bible tells us something else. For 15 years now, the house of the Lord stayed unfinished. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. Listen, he said, we're not here to look back. We're not here to jump on the latest bandwagon. We are here to join God in what he is doing in these days for his glory. I look in John chapter number 5 and verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also, he said, doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. The Bible tells us something else. What they should have done was to put their backs to the work in hand and rebuild the temple, get about the business of serving the Lord. Instead, they were sidetracked by their own little agendas. Then again, we find number 3. We find the glory of the promise. We find this here in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, in verses 7 through 9, we find the glory of the promise. And I'll shake all nations, and listen, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, as I said, after 15 years of work on the temple, still had not been completed. God raised up the prophets like Haggai and Zechariah to preach to the people. God used these men to stir up these people of Israel to get busy and to get the work done, ladies and gentlemen. And so his message is still gives hope for us in the day as well. We live in a day when men are discouraged. Oh, listen, and are wondering about the reverence of the church in this modern world. Others wonder what the future holds for the house of God. I think Haggai has some words of comfort for all of our hearts this evening. In verses number 4, the promise of his presence. God says this, this temple may not be as great or great as the first one, but God said, I'm still here with you. He said the second temple may not be as great as the first one. That's one thing about it, I'm here. God is there. That's what's important. Let me just give this testimony when I get back to preaching. That years ago, 1966, in Lexington, was in an old frame building. And still heated with oil circulating, had air conditioning in the window. The Lord let us purchase
2.5 grams at that time and
build a new church building. And so when we build, we put carpet on the floor and padded pews to start off with, and chandeliers from the ceiling. But when we had our first service, our people sat there like they was in the first church uptown. They thought, we have arrived. And the second service, it got worse. And about a month, listen, they just sat there. They thought they were in their first church. One day I just moved the pulpit down in the aisle. And I said, folk, we're still in the house of God. We're going to worship God right here. We're not going to drop on God. Back in those days, I was young. I just run the aisles and preach. I wish I could do that again. One day I will with a glorified body. But anyway, the reason I stay up here because I got to get back up here. And since then, let me just stay up here. But anyway. But I remember those days. I remember those days where we came from. But God said, listen, finally our folk realized that the presence of God could be in the new building like it was in the old building. Never forget that. One Sunday morning, you'd had no our choir leader. Old brother Eddie. He could lead a choir, but he could not pronounce his R's. He stuttered. Don't put him in front of a microphone to sing. He just couldn't do it. But he could lead a choir. He led a choir for me for 27 years, best I ever had. Old brother Eddie one morning, though, in that new building, he stood up after the choir got through singing. He said, I got to give a word of testimony. He began to stutter, but God fell on that young man. You know what happened? People began to stand up and praise the Lord. It broke the ice that day. Because one man obeyed the Lord, testified to the Lord. That's what it takes. Revival will come because one person wants it. Again, the Bible tells us something else. Friends, listen, we have the same promise this evening. Things may not listen, may not be like they used to be, but the same God who moved in is still with his people today. The Bible says this here in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covenant. Be content with such things as you have. But he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Again in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. Notice now, always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I like that, don't you? I like that word, always. God said, I'll start out with you. I'm going to be with you always. He's with you when you feel good. He's with you when you're down the valley. He's with you when you're on your sick bed. He's with you on your deathbed. Whatever valley you go through, he's there with you. The Bible tells us again, Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Ladies and gentlemen, today, I hate to say this, but we got preachers today. Unless they say they come to the hundreds, they're not going to waste their time. Isn't that awful? That's all. The day that a man calls himself a preacher, won't preach to one person, he's got no business preaching to 100. Amen. I don't choose my congregation, neither do you. I like to see the church filled every service, wouldn't you? Every pew packed, I'd like to see that. But that's not happening. But I'm still going to preach to those that God gives me. I want to try to be just as faithful. Again, at 2 or 3 together. Praise God. He still shows up from time to time. I'm glad that God is not on vacation. Every once in a while, God shows up. He does every once in a while. I'm up in Mount Airy in the month of February. And it snowed. It snowed on Sunday night. Yet back in the mountains, over 100 people came through the snow. Some couldn't come, but they came. Four-wheel drive, they came. On Monday night, a lady got saved. Down a few. It's unusual for lost people to come to the front row. We can't get Christians on the front row. She came to the front row. And she got saved. A mother of 2 children. She got saved. She gave her testimony. When she did, it broke out all over the church. And I just sat there and wept. Never got to the platform that night. You know why? Because God can preach a lot better than I can. Wouldn't you like to see a lot of those services now? We used to have a lot of those services, but they're far and few now. A lot of people have never been in one of them. I must go on. Then again, the Bible tells us something else. Thank God, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our trials and affliction, in the midst of our labors and activities, in the midst of our feeble attempts to serve the Lord of glory, we have His presence, and His peace sustains us. John 14:27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then we have the promise of power. Of power. God reminds them that He is still in control, regardless of how things may look. Praise God, that is still true today. Let me say, it looks like evil in this world is out of control. It looks like Satan and his will are having their day. Those folk who don't get saved, they are having their day. It's the only heaven they'll ever have. When it seems today that everything's out of control, people are being murdered. To turn on your television is pathetic. That one man down in Florida, shot that man and said, in self-defense. Have you seen all the thousands demonstrated yesterday? But you can't get those folks near the house of God. We have never seen. And the man over there, overseas, one of the military men, shot and killed all those people. It's just not overseas. It's here at home, ladies and gentlemen. And to you and I, it looks like it's out of control. When you turn your television on, there's no good news on that. It's all bad. You know, they thrive on bad news. They don't want to tell you no good news. The only good news you're going to get is from the Bible and the house of God, where they preach the Word of God, where they live the Word of God, where they practice the Word of God. Again, but I want to remind you that we serve a God who's still on the throne. God's the same place he's always been. The Bible tells us here, he still has all power. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In his time, he will demonstrate his power, his sovereignty over sin, Satan, and the world. Then I want you to notice verse number 8, the promise of his provision. Some were concerned about the expense of the project. Others were concerned that the new temple, like the gold and the glitz of the first temple. God just reminds them that he has all they need, friends, and he still does. God reminded them back in those days, the days of Ezra, God said, I got all you need, and God has all we need today. Isn't this great? I love to go in a service station where they still change oil and ask you what a good job it is. Still vacuum your car out. I go to one of those service stations. Still cleans my windshield. If I don't buy anything, they still clean my windshield. I like to go there. But I was there yesterday again, and I had to go by there, and was talking about some things. And this man related to me. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. When he, 1997, lost without God, he got a DWI because he was drunk. And they suspended his license for 6 months. They should have done that a long run. But then after 6 months, during that time, he got saved. He got right with God. And then after 6 months, they gave him his license back. He got him a good job and applied for CDLs. He even got those. And then a few weeks ago, he went to get some motorcycle license. And they said, you can't get them. You got a DWI on your record. He said, that was 1997. That's been forgiven. They said, no, it didn't either. It's still on your records. And that man lost his job. Listen to me now. He had to buy a machine, cost $284 to put in his car, and won't crank unless he breathes in it. They test his breath before he can crank the automobile to drive his own car. He went and applied at Sam's Car Wash to get a job. They wouldn't hire me because he did not have a high school diploma to drive down a car. Are you with me this evening? Do you see where we are today? He's a hard-working man. I'm so glad when God saved you, when God saved me, he took care of all the past. And by the time that God saved you, not one time has God ever brought up our past. It's under the blood. See if we get it. And this young man said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, are you saved? He said, I am. This is what I said. If you're saved, God's going to take care of you, sir. God made a promise to take care of you. The Bible said, Philippians 4:19, but my God, notice, not a God, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Didn't say one thing about our wants. I said, sir, he's going to take care of your needs now, not your want, but your needs. Oh, don't despair. That the meager churches where their contemporary music, fleshy, listen, worship, lack of doctrine seem to be flourishing. God has not forsaken us. He knows what we need in these days, and he'll protect the remnant that he provides for all of our needs. He's going to take care of us in his own way, in his own time. I do not take a worry about these meager churches and all their contemporary music. I'm just glad I can come to church like this and hear what I heard tonight. Can you say amen? Nod your head out there. Don't have to worry about it. I heard the truth. Amen? You don't have to worry about that. Again, we find the promise in verse 79. We find the promise of his potential. These verses tell of a day the desire of all nations would come. They tell of a day when the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. He's referring to the coming of Jesus Christ. So years later, this new temple was remodeled by Herod, and into that newly remodeled temple walked in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not the glory cloud, but he walked in the church himself. When I look in the Bible, the Lord came to that temple to fulfill the words of Haggai. You see, he came to Solomon's temple in the glory cloud, but he walked into the temple in the flesh. What does that mean for us? Well, we can look back with envy on the days when God moved in the great revivals of yesterday. We can long for old age. The fact remains that we have a privilege that they did not enjoy. You see, Jesus did not come back then to get his church, but he just might come tonight. We got more today to look forward to than they had to look forward to. You see, so as bad as things may look for us from time to time, but let us remember that our Savior, listen, could come for his church at any time. In the book of 1 Corinthians, this blesses my soul, 15, 51, 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorrupt, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16 through 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you ask me, that is something to get excited about. As I conclude, friends, let me say, you can live your life looking back. You can live your life along with what you think others have. Or you can seize the opportunity God's given you in these days and do a work for him. Watch him move in his power today. In his power today. I hear this, Brother Van. I hear this not just one time a year, more than one time a year. They say, Brother Fry, at your age, as if I'm old, at your age, when are you going to retire? And my answer is, when God gives me a glorified body. As long as God puts breath in my lungs, there's one more soul to reach out there. I'm going to try by the grace of God. There's one more door open to preach in the church and just testify what God has done and what God is going to do. In that day, the young men shouted while the old men wept. In our day, may we all recognize the fact that God is looking for a people who sees the day for his glory. So I can't go back to yesterday. I can't embrace everything that's being done in his name of religion, but I can seize the opportunities I've been given to serve him today. To serve him today. As I close, my older son, he's 61 years old. I don't think I'm old until I get the age of my children. He's 61, and he said, Daddy, what time are you leaving tomorrow?
And I told him, what time?
What time will you arrive? I said, I don't know. But he said, I'll call you. He always does. And so on the way to church, he called me. And he said, did you arrive okay? And I said, yes, son, I did. And I thank you for calling me. But how was your trip? I said, on the way up, I got backslid in Greensboro. He said, now, Daddy, you didn't do that. I said, I sure did.
He said, did you blow your horn? I said, no, sir.
Didn't do that, but I got mad. I'm traveling. I'm traveling at 55 miles an hour, looping Greensboro. And on this side of me, as the lane is loaded, here comes a guy off the ramp. He don't see me. And our home is 37 and a half foot pulling a car. My wife has flowers in there, and of all things, she got pinto beans in the vases with the flowers in.
And I
have that Jake brake on, and I hit that air brake, and that thing broke down. And I turned everything, and pinto beans went everywhere. Pinto beans went everywhere. I was all right till I got over here at Brother Roy's and parked, and he'd get on my knees and rake up them pinto beans. I said, I wish I had that fella here to help me. So I said to my son, I said, it could have been worse, though. He said, yes, Daddy, you could have hit him. I said, I did. I wanted to, but I didn't. But anyway, it's sad. The old flesh, I got carnality. I know you got some too. You may not admit it, but you got some carnality. I wish I could get rid of all of mine, but I will one day. But to get a glorified body. I said all that to say this. We never know in the journey If we try it, what's going to take place? We do not know. Spiritually, as far as I know, the Lord can come tonight. As far as I know. As far as you know. I ask you, are you ready to meet the Lord? Would you stand, please, all over the church? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Soul is going to come. A pianist is going to come. The Bible talks about that. Listen, when young men shouted, and old men wept. If there's ever a time, young folk, you ought to shout, you're saved, it's now. If there's ever a time, the old men ought to weep when we see the condition of our churches today, what it used to be. It's time that my Father take the message of God this evening, use it for thy glory. Bring those to the altar that needs to come. Save souls, I pray. Give revival again in Christ's name. Amen. Where we sing, Brother Buddy.